Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Monday, August 28th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, I'll tell you, it's been a rainy day in Houston. And terrible things are happening with that Hurricane Harvey that started on Friday. We talked about it prior to the program on Friday, or during the program on Friday. And terrible catastrophic flooding. All kinds of stories coming out of that. Good stories, terrible stories, sad stories. And it's we'll talk about Houston in just a little bit. And will it affect the oil refineries in that area? And it's interesting because yesterday you had, I believe it was Tillerson that was being interviewed on one of the programs, and he was asked about, oh no, everything's fine, don't worry, be happy. Mm-hmm. And it's just like everything else when it comes to politicians and they ask for, you know, what could the situation be, it's everything is fine. And they really didn't have enough to go on as far, you know, because they haven't had the access. But there is a report about one refinery in Houston or near Houston that was damaged. We'll talk about that here in just a bit. But a good day for gold. And I'm going to see if I can get the New York spot price in the after market trading. You have it up $20.40 at $1,312. Well, folks, we finally closed above $1,300. That's what I've been waiting for. And so I think the next leg up, we're going to see $1,350. And because there isn't really anything. Now, we are going into a three-day weekend. And I know at three-day weekends, they'll try to put pressure on gold prior to. We'll see what the markets are doing. But I think there's too much focus and what's happening in Texas, and so I don't think they're going to be paying much attention to these markets this week. So we'll see how the rest of the week folds out. I'd like to see gold close above 1300 for a couple days, just see if, you know, before I predict 1350. But so a good day in gold. And silver had a nice day, up 39 cents at $17.54. Platinum was up $14 at $991. Palladium was up 9 at $939. The USDX today, and I believe this was the culprit for higher gold prices, was down 0.27 at $92.25. Crude oil was down too, 1.11 at $46.76. And the paper markets today, they were off a little bit, not much. And let's see if I can bring them up here quickly. You had the Dow was down 5 points, 21,808. The NASDAQ was up 17, 6,283. And the S&P was basically unchanged at 2,444. And let's see, I can't get to, it doesn't pay to have people work on your computers. They just screw it up. So that's so they can come back and make more money. It's the way it works in America anymore. We're going to do such a lousy job the first time. We'll need to come back and fix it. And that way we can generate some extra income for the holiday. I don't mean that, but sometimes it makes you wonder. I had three things worked on last week where I live, and I had to call them all back because of something that either went wrong or it's like, really? Really?
Were they all computers, or were you talking about something else?
Well, one was my computer. It's never worked properly since he worked on it a little bit ago. And one was my garage door opener. They came and fixed it a week ago, and they had to come back because it was broke. And my water filter was also... All they had to do was replace the filter, and they didn't even do it right, and they had to come back and do it again. So, and they're some of the best company. The water filter company is one of the highly recognized, you know, very competent company here in around this area. So it just makes you wonder.
I went over to a friend's house to watch the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather fight on Saturday, and picked up a bucket of chicken over at the Kentucky Fried Chicken. All right. I go in there. There's a guy in line in front of me, and the kid gives him his package, his food, and he says, "Okay, you didn't give me this, you didn't give me this, you didn't give me this." There were four items that were supposed to be in the package that the kid hadn't included in the package. And it's taken a long time to get this straightened out, and he's the only guy in front of me. They finally get to my order. They give me my bucket of chicken. I told them I wanted dark. I wanted 8 pieces is what I wanted. I wanted dark. They gave me breasts. I didn't find out till I got home. The kid gave me check. I gave him a $100 bill for, they owed me $77 and change. He gave me $77 and change plus an extra $25 return on my $100 bill. All right. And I had to stand around and wait to tell him, look, you screwed up. What was the last thing? I don't remember. There was something else, but it was just embarrassing. Oh, the coleslaw. I got two large coleslaw. Both of them were only half. I do too. But I got two large coleslaw. All right. That's what I wanted for my vegetables. And both of them were only half filled.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, and the little chicken wings, I mean, it looks like they've been going after hummingbirds or something like that to get their chicken wings. They were small, legs were small. I don't know. It was like, I'm assuming someone's closing the store or somebody's robbing the store or something like that. I don't know what's going on, but it was just the future of America, American youth. You know, they, oh my God, are we in trouble? The kid can't even count. It's not a question of he can't add or subtract. That's a step up. He can't even count, and he's working a cash register.
Yeah. Oh, heaven's sakes, if you've ever been someplace where the power goes out and the registers don't work and they have to calculate in their minds, even if they wrote it, they can't even do it on paper.
I know.
They can't even write.
I know.
They can't even figure it out on paper. And I can remember very distinct, I don't mean to go off on stories, but I remember we were in a restaurant when I lived in Prescott, Arizona, and that goes back to 1998. So, this has been going on for a long time. The power went out. We had to help them to figure out what our bill was, give them the money, and give back change. And I'm not exaggerating.
No, I understand.
And that was back in before 1990, you know, maybe 1998, 97, 98.
This is what happens when you're raised on calculators. They never learn to really add and subtract. All they learn is how to push the buttons. You take the buttons away and it's like, huh, what?
Yeah.
They're lost. We went to Rice, one more story. Went to Rice University for a football game. That's about 5 or 6 years ago. These are college kids working behind the concession stands. They sell the hot dogs for $2. They sell the hamburgers for $4. They sold the pretzels for $1, and it was on like $3 for a Coke. Not $2.99, not $1.89. It was $1, $2, $3, $4, maybe a $5 item. All right, it was all that. The kids working the concession stand had to have calculators to add up the price. You go in there and you, oh my God, he ordered a $5 hamburger and a $3 hot dog and a 2 Cokes and whatever and a pretzel, and they can't add the numbers, and they're just one digit.
Yeah.
Right? Amazing. Astonishing.
Well, you know, thank you, Common Core, and and computers and calculators and cell phones. You know,
no kid gets ahead. That was the Bush program. You know, they called it No Kid Left Behind, but what it really means is no kid gets ahead.
Yeah. Well, these kids can't even tell time.
Oh, they can.
They don't know how to tell time
on an analog.
they don't know the minutes and the seconds.
I understand that.
And it's just like, well, why aren't the parents teaching them this? That's my question. Why aren't the parents teaching them?
We take it for granted. We learned it when we were kids, and it didn't seem like a big thing. And it's just astonishing. How could you not know? It really is. It's like, what? What? It's like you've been raised in this country and you don't speak English? You know, how could you not speak English? Oh, you know. I mean, it's strange. It is strange.
But again, signs of the times, and, you know, they are. It is the future. They are the future. And so I just wanted to talk a little bit about the oil refinery in Houston. An Exxon oil refinery was damaged by the Hurricane Harvey, and the company says chemicals could be released and it says that chemicals could be released into the air. Isn't that great news?
Well, Exxon, into the air, into the water, what the heck? It's all washed away, Melody.
Exxon said a roof at the facility in Baytown partially sank because of heavy rain. The report filed with Texas environmental regulators said Exxon expects air emissions linked to the damage will end by Friday at the facility. Exxon shut down the refining and chemical complex and said it was taking action to minimize emissions. Exxon declined to give details about the extent of the damage other than to say it plans to assess the full impact. Well, you know what? They shouldn't be allowed to decline to give details because it might hurt their little stock shares and spend them pricing and so forth. And if you remember who was head of Exxon, it was Mr. Tillerson. So, but Baytown is one of at least 10 oil refineries along the Texas Gulf Coast that has been knocked offline by the historic rainfall. The flooding has interrupted 16% of U.S. refining capacity, or about 785,000 gallons of gas lost each day. This was all according to Goldman Sachs. So here we have Exxon, Tillerson, Goldman Sachs. It just irritates me. Gasoline futures climbed to two-year highs on today. Oil refineries on the Gulf Coast have reported no major damage so far. Of course not. Valero said its Corpus Christi and the Three Rivers facilities did not suffer substantial refinery impacts. The Exxon's Baytown facility is actually the second biggest refinery in the United States, only behind a Saudi Aramco facility at Port Arthur. So earlier this year, a Texas court ordered Exxon to pay $20 million in fines for serious violations at Baytown that caused the release of about 10 million pounds of pollutants into the atmosphere. A judge ruled that Exxon violated the Clean Air Act 16,386 times between October 2005 and September of 2013. Exxon said at the time that it disagreed with the finding. Well, you know what? $20 million isn't enough if that's what they're doing. Yep. $20 million is not enough. So now they get the roof, and now you have to wonder, well, is the city going to pay for any of this damage to their roof? You know, how much of the infrastructure of rebuilding Houston and a lot of the outer lying areas, that's going to be a big hurt to the, I would think, to the budget of the state of Dallas. City. Now,
not Dallas, Houston.
I mean, to the state of Texas is what I wanted to say. So I don't think Texas is in the position to spend billions of dollars in infrastructure rebuilding. So
we'll just give it to Mexico.
Let Mexico pay for it.
If they won't pay to rebuild the wall, they can pay to rebuild the refineries.
But it is a serious situation.
It's a terrible situation.
And so again, this is, you know, money that the state probably doesn't have. We're talking billions and billions of dollars to the level of Katrina. Some are estimating that it'll cost as much or more than Katrina in New Orleans. And what's sad about this situation is it really didn't have to happen. From the comments and what I hear is when they were building Houston, it was built so fast, it's the fourth largest city in the country, that zoning was pretty much thrown out the window. They just cemented over any of the flood areas and so forth, crossed their fingers, and hoped they'd never have a flood. Yep. They didn't put in any drainage. They didn't put anything in to drain the waters that might come in from a hurricane and so forth. So, you know, it's just so wrong. And the people that live in that area, and now their lives are ruined because the multinational corporations and the builders of these communities didn't bother to protect or do something that would eliminate this from happening in the future. And I don't know if there's a lawsuit there. I said that earlier. I wonder if you can sue them for building without the consideration of
depends on whether they, if they know. I know a woman who lives down there, and she, her house is in subject to flooding, and it's below sea level. Right? Now,
well,
on the map, they haven't had a problem. They haven't had, been there for years and years. They haven't had a problem before. They're going to have a problem now.
It's right? It's one thing when you know you're at a level and you're in a flood zone. That's one thing. Yeah. But it's something else when you've had all this cement poured and no one bothered about having any drainage systems because you have corruption, you have payments, you have, hey, Joe, you know, here's a couple hundred grand. Can you get this approved so we don't have to go ahead and do this and blah, 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 blah. I mean, that's how cities are built anymore. So people are destroyed. Their lives are ruined. I mean, yeah, if you live in a flood zone and so forth, that's one thing. But did this have to happen? I mean, just like Katrina, they knew those levees weren't any good, and yet they just let them go. Until you have something that comes in like a hurricane and the levees broke, and look how many people's lives were destroyed. Just because governments, the city governments, the state governments, prefer to spend their money on other things than to really protect the citizens and to keep this from happening, and then people's lives are totally wiped out. And yeah, it's...
I've got an article here from Ms. Shedlock talking about the hurricane. Beyond anything ever seen, water is 14 feet in places, 14 feet above previous record levels. Traffic lights are submerged. Houston may see another 5 days of rain, unprecedented flooding beyond anything expected. At least 50 inches of rain has fallen in some areas, with one meteorologist. Well, I don't need that, but 50 inches so far. We're still expecting 25 to 30 inches of rain across southeast Texas. That's from ABC News. This is in addition to what has already fallen. In places, you might have 75, 80 inches of rain. All right, emergency responders completed more than 1,000 high water rescues. Sheriff Harris County Sheriff Ed Gonzalez urged people to think twice before they leave their home and wade through the water. If the water gets in but it's not life-threatening, I'm going to ask you to simply stay put. Do not get on the roadway. Others have been advised the people to write their social security numbers on their arms and bodies for identification. And the last is Brooke Long from FEMA says the area may be uninhabitable for weeks or months. We're going to take a break for some commercials, and Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk in Dallas, Texas. So I'm not getting flooded out, but people down in Houston are. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Yeah, FEMA expects 450,000 people. That'll be victims. 30,000 of them are in shelters. And I think everybody sees the horrible, horrible pictures of what people are going through. And I think one of the most disturbing ones is they showed a nursing home where there was the residents, I think everyone's seen this, was sitting in water.
Yep, elderly people.
65,
75, 80 years old.
And the
sitting up to their water up to their waist.
Up to their waist. And Beth told me this morning that the way they were rescued was one of the women's daughter had put it on Facebook.
Yep.
And they were rescued that way. And I think out of all the terrible pictures that you see, there's always one that kind of, maybe lifts it puts a smile on your face. And I shared this story earlier today. It was the one about the dog. There was a family, and the parents took the children away, and I guess the uncle or somebody came to stay at the home, and they left the dog there also. He was going to watch the dog. And this dog was and it's a small town. It was in Houston, but it was outside of Houston, population 6,000. And everybody in town knows this dog. I mean, he could go to the Burger King and he gets a free burger. He can go and sit on the courthouse steps. I mean, he could go places where no other dog could go. So everybody knew him in town, and they took a picture of him. He was walking up the street, and he has his bag of dog food in his mouth. So he was looking for a place to stay, and when he left home, he took his dog food with him. And, it was I think it was like a German Shepherd mix, so it was a larger dog. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a very, very cute picture. He knew how to survive. He took his food with him. So that should be a lesson to folks to prepare. And to make sure that if you ever had to get out of an area quickly, that you have something that you can take with you. Have a backpack so that you do have some food in there. You do have maybe some spare medications in there. Put some in there that you can have for a couple days to get you through until you can get home again. So it is very important to make sure you have that backpack and take what you can with you, as that dog did. So anyway, what's next, Al?
I have an article here from 24H Gold, and the headline is Gold Crossing the Rubicon, and among other things, it's talking about passing the $1,300 mark per ounce. And they have a segment, it's a large article, it's close to 5,000 words altogether, but they have a section, they deal with the United States, the U.S. economy, China, the oil market, geopolitics, and what they think is happening. Very well-written article, great article. But they have a section on the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. All right? And about 300 words. I'm going to read the first paragraph. It says the SCO, that's the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, this is something like NAFTA. All right? It's a trade organization that involves a number of Asian countries, primarily, but not just Asian countries. It says the Shanghai Cooperation Organization is driven by China in partnership with Russia. as well as a population of $3.3 billion, or billion people, excuse me, and that would be China and Russia. It is the principal trade partner of Japan, the Koreas, all of the Southeast Asian nations, adding another 830 million people to this SCO, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization's sphere of influence. Dependence on the SCO for their exports of raw materials takes in nearly all of sub-Saharan Africa, adding another billion people. Europe, Australia, and New Zealand are also drawn into the SCO's circle of trade influence for a further 700 million people. That totals over 5.8 billion people, leaving nations with a population with a total of about a billion people, either neutral or siding with America. Yet, it is the U.S. dollar that settles the bulk of world trade. Now, what they're going to argue before they're done here is that, as part of this article, they're going to argue that because of the mass of this Shanghai Cooperation Organization, this is most of the people in the world are part of this, and China and to a lesser extent Russia are spearheading this entity, and they're pointing out, yet it is the U.S. dollar that settles the bulk of world trade. Well, it leaves open the question of how much longer can the dollar, which is clearly serving about a billion people in this world, how long much longer can it remain the world reserve currency? And they're arguing that the answer is probably not very long. But the numbers that they describe in this article, again, 5.8 billion people, population, what, 6.5, 7.5 billion? I don't know what the global population is altogether, but most of the people in the world are to some degree associated with China and Russia in this trade organization. And it's the sort of thing you look at that and you say, my God, we are in a lot of trouble. It's only a matter of time. Now, I don't mean it's going to happen this month or whatever, but it is inevitable that the dollar is going to lose its status as world reserve trade currency. And once that happens, I don't see any way that the dollar can be expected to hold its value, which is not very much anymore in any case, but its remaining value would diminish dramatically and the price of gold will go up substantially. And they go on and they talk about there are strong indications that gold will be part of the settlement medium for the SCO's future trade. Not only is China driving the SCO partnership with Russia, which appears to be gold-friendly as well, but central bank demand for physical gold has mostly been from SCO member states and officials. India's not part of the SCO. It's not part of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. You know
it
why?
It wouldn't be. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know why? They want to be in, but they can't because India lacks enough gold at the state level to support her membership. You've got to have gold to get into the into the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. The government doesn't have enough gold to support their membership, and it's using increasingly desperate measures to acquire gold from their own citizens. Well, I don't know. They speculate that this thing is going, you'll see a yuan backed by gold before this is all over. And the implication is the price of gold has to go up, up, and up. And the numbers are just, I don't know if I can communicate them properly, but they're chilling. The majority of the world, not half the world, 80% of the world, is to some degree involved in this Shanghai Cooperation Organization, and the United States is going to be left out in the cold before this is done.
And, you know, I think a lot of people might hope they don't take my words incorrectly, but the TPP, I think that should have been renegotiated because, you know, we are losing out with that amount of trade in those areas. Now, granted, again, what I didn't like about the TPP was the governmental laws, the laws that they were creating for these multinational corporations. They would have an independent council, and it basically took, you know, a lot of these rulings away from the countries. And to me, that was, you know, your one world court system. Yep. I mean, yes, there are already world councils and so forth and courts, but, you know, again, this was, I think, again, pushing, you know, the globalism to one more step. It was more than just trade, and it needed to be focused on trade. But yeah, you are going to have these Asian countries, and, you know, China and India don't get along anyway, so they're really they probably wouldn't want India in there. But I mean, the International Fund, Monetary Fund, the IMF, when that was created, states or governments that were in there, nations that went in there, they needed to have backing by gold. They were required to put a certain amount of gold, you know, into the IMF and so forth. So this is pretty much the same theory probably as the IMF. And it's all about trade. And it's, you know, I know Mr. Trump wants tariffs, and I've heard that, you know, he just wants them and so forth. But I don't know. This is going to play out. It's not going to play out positively for the United States. And I just don't see us going back to make America great again in those terms of manufacturing and so forth. So, sure, we're going to get some. Maybe that some will be enough. And who knows? Maybe China. Maybe, you know, if they're going to be leading the manufacturing world, hey, maybe they need some, maybe they prefer to manufacture over here. So maybe manufacturing will increase over here, but you'll be employed by a Chinese company.
And that means the profits that you generate mm-hmm. from your work will be taken out of this country and they will go to China. We will be colonized essentially by bringing in foreign corporations, just as we have colonized other countries by putting our own corporations over mm-hmm. there. We put the corporations, we tell them there's a drip down theory and you'll make money and everybody's going to get a job. You all do well, but it pulls the profits out of the country and sends it back to the corporate headquarters. And the consequences are dangerous. There's a multiplier effect. The country can be actually impoverished. They put these corporations in, people, oh, we're going to bring jobs. Yeah, you're going to bring jobs, all right. They're going to be jobs. You're going to bring poverty on top of that. Another one. Here's another article dealing with, from the same, 24H Gold. And the headline is Dollar Update as Loss of Reserve Currency Status Looms. And it says in part, a big reason, now this is an interesting point. It says a big reason for the dollar finding support in recent years and doing relatively well versus its peers, that would be the other fiat currencies, has been the perception that the U.S. is the last and best safe haven in the world beset by instability and terrorism. But that perception is changing as U.S. society starts to polarize in a dangerous manner. When we see leftists, for example, that are having violent demonstrations, it makes people think, uh-oh, maybe the United States isn't that safe haven anymore. And this is interesting to me because I hadn't heard of this before and certainly hadn't thought of it, the idea that the political instability, the polarization we see in this country right now may actually diminish the amount of foreign currency and foreign wealth that gets deposited in this country. We're degenerating. We're to a point where we are no longer as attractive a place to store your wealth. It goes on and says, in addition, the continued provocations and threats by the U.S. Towards China and Russia have driven them into making preparations to ditch using the dollar. And these preparations are well advanced and have included buying huge quantities of gold. Thus, the dollar is looking increasingly vulnerable. Again, you know, a second article Doesn't prove anything, but it tells you that leaves are flying in the breeze and they're headed in a particular direction. And people are talking about the dollar losing its status as world reserve currency. If it does, it is the primary reason the dollar retains any value right now at all. If that happens, the dollar becomes a pure fiat currency, and from then on, the value is going to probably inflate significantly. It'll be subject to significant inflation. The value will be reduced significantly. Price of gold and other things are going to go up dramatically. They're giving us that warning. You know, if you care to hear it, if you want to listen to it, it's there. You can't say that you weren't warned. It may be that this warning, we're not going to see this happen. Who knows? It might be months or years. I don't know when it's going to happen. But nevertheless, it seems inevitable. And when it happens, there's going to be dramatic changes. And one of the things you want to do is protect yourself against that moment, all right, when they finally say, okay, the dollar is no longer the world reserve currency. Now, it'll probably happen if and when it happens, and it seems virtual when it's going to happen. It'll happen over a period of time, right? It won't be a situation where you come to work one day and say, oh, the dollar is no longer, did you hear? The dollar is no longer the world reserve currency. It'll just be used less and then less and then less until finally its status as world reserve currency is just an harsh, it's an historical
I disagree.
Legacy, but you think it'll be all at once?
I think we're experiencing right now less and less. Okay. But I think we come to a day when confidence is lost overnight due to a situation. Don't know what that situation will be, but it will be quick. And it will happen overnight. Everything that results from that will linger on after that. But I think we're just experiencing the desire of a U.S. dollar lessening now slowly, and then I think we're going to have a big bang, and then I think that's when, you know, everything goes into the fan and we'll wake up to a brand new different world. It's not going to be, gee, we're not going to be using the dollar anymore, and because
I'm not saying we won't, but the value of the dollar will fall dramatically. If then the world stops using it as a world reserve currency,
I don't believe that's going to happen slowly. I believe it'll happen very quickly.
I think it will sneak up on it. It'll be there'll be a point when it probably snaps like a stick, but we'll see, you know, less and less and less value, and people get upset, people get concerned, and all of a sudden, bang, and then it'll perhaps snap and break. And when it does, you're going to have an alternative, or have to create an alternative. All right, we're going to take a break again, and we will return on financial survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned. I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I'm going to continue to run my special on Friday's prices, last week prices. What did I tell you today? Gold is up $20, silver is up 40 cents. And we're going to keep prices on Friday. Now, because the prices change, I do only have a limited supply. You can't buy 1 to 100. You're going to buy 1 to 100, but prices would have to be adjusted for today's new prices. But I still have a couple of those packages at $490 of last week, a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, along with $25 face value of 90% silver, $25 face value, 90% silver, and a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. It includes your shipping costs, and let's see, total $490. $490. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That also includes your shipping costs. And this package today would be well over, it'd be running about $515. $515. So it really is a deal. Most likely I will be sold out today, and we will have to readjust the prices. As long as gold and silver stay at these higher levels, prices will be adjusted tomorrow to reflect the increases. So your last chance today, folks, 1-800-375-4188. And not only did you have a savings originally of a couple percents from the regular price, you're not getting charged for the big increases, which were almost 2%. So a great savings for this package, $490, 800-375-4188.
You know, we talked last week. I talked about creating, they have the VIX index, the fear greed index, and I was thinking what we need is a stupidity crazy index. All right, on 1 to 10, 1 being stupid, maximally stupid, and 10 being maximally crazy. Well, I've got an article here from the New York Post that impresses me as a 2, maybe a 3, but it's mostly just stupid. But it's interesting, all right, because it is, oh my God.
Stupid can be interesting.
Oh, fascinating.
Stupid, you know, can be interesting.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's like turning over a rock and saying, my God, did you see what crawled out from under the rock? It says the tax reform plan eliminates deductions Americans need. That's the headline.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this before, the mortgage interest deduction.
Yeah, yeah, that's that, but yep. there's other point to this.
Yep.
Last week, several Capitol Hill lawmakers, led by Speaker Paul Ryan, made the rounds pitching a yet-to-be public plan for tax reform. On the surface, now this is what they, I am reading this word for word, and I think the statement, I think the sentence, I think it needed a better editor. They didn't catch, they're not saying what they meant to say here. On the surface, no one would argue that the U.S. tax system is cumbersome and unfair and that the IRS needs to be revised. IRS code needs to be revised. I think what they mean to say is no one would deny that the U.S. tax system is cumbersome and unfair, and that the IRS code needs to be revised. One of the things I've noticed, a lot of the articles we read, they really are losing their ability to edit the articles. And I think it's because people are being overwhelmed. They're cranking out articles so fast that they don't have time to proofread these things. And we end up saying, I see more proofing errors than I used to see 3, 4, 5 years ago. It used to be you could count on articles being well written. Nowadays,
not only that, everybody copies everything that they don't buy, and that's why they don't. Yeah. They copy. They don't have to. Well, if they did it, ABC probably already proofed this. We're just gonna anyway. Go ahead.
They go on and it says, but some of the changes being discussed are just plain stupid, and should be taken off the table ASAP. For example, there's talk in Washington that to pay for tax cuts, Congress will do away with the mortgage interest deduction. It is a terrible idea. If enacted, it would surely prevent millions of Americans from enjoying, that particular American dream, owning a home. Well, where do we get the idea? You know, the idea behind this is that the headline is Tax Reform Plan Eliminates Deductions Americans Need. I don't know that we need any deductions. I think the whole idea that we're getting deductions, tax deductions out of the government, makes us sit back and say, yay, hooray, the government has given me a tax deduction, and I am so grateful. You're still paying a tax. What are you cheering about? And on top of which, if you don't pay whatever is reasonable and fair on your mortgage or whatever else where the government is giving you a deduction, who's going to pay it? Somebody's got to pay it. Somebody's going to make up. They come up and they say, wow, we're going to give you, we like you, we think you're great, we're going to give you a tax deduction. Really? What about for my kids? What about for my grandkids? Are they going to wind up being saddled with the tax that you didn't charge me?
Well, that's not the problem.
Is that fair?
That's not the problem I have. I have the issue with this. The only reason they're taking it away, I mean, if you already own a home and you get to run it through in your taxes for a tax, okay, Reagan, when he did the tax credits, he took away credit card interest that you could deduct. People still use their credit cards, and people still, you know. So I don't think because you're taking away the mortgage interest deduction that people would stop buying homes. It might stop them from buying a more expensive home because they think they can, you know, do the deduction and so forth. What I have a problem with this is that they're taking away this deduction from the people so that multinational corporations can have their tax cuts. They need to come up with revenue. And the only way they can revamp that is by taking it from the people. And that is what I have a problem with.
I agree. So what do you do besides cut
tax deductions from the people alone? Let us have a little bone every now and then.
Well, the other problem is they want you to pay more money. And it's not just to support corporations. They want you to pay more money to support the government. The government is the principal consumer of our taxes. It may be that our taxes, and they juggle them around.
Yeah, so they can subsidize everybody else.
More than individuals. But the money's going to the government. Why don't we cut the size of government? Right? And we're going to have to. It's going to work out that way. We don't have the money to play these games anymore. Again, as they say, they want to do away with the mortgage interest deduction. It's a terrible idea, according to this article. If enacted, it would surely prevent millions of Americans of enjoying that particular American dream, owning a home. Where do we get off that the government is responsible for making our dreams come true? How about you get a job and you earn? You want a house? Can make enough money to buy one. Where is the government falling into the dream business? It's not their job, in my opinion. It goes on, it would also ruin the dream for millions of American families who own a home and count on the mortgage interest rate deduction.
You already have the lowest mortgage interest rates in history.
Yeah, that's another point.
You know, how much lower you can go? It doesn't keep people from buying homes. It might keep them from buying a more expensive home, thinking, now I can deduct this, so maybe I can go a little more in a bigger home and so forth, and you'll have a little bit more, you know, higher interest to pay. But again, you're right. You know, if you want tax reform, forget about taking it from people and trying to create revenue to pay for it. Stop your spending.
Yeah.
Stop it. Reform government.
Yes. Yeah. And how deep are we going into debt? Why can't we operate on the basis of how much money did we recover from taxes this year, Melody? Okay, that's how much we can spend. Whatever the revenue is, that's how much we can spend. And instead they say, oh, no, we can spend more because our credit is good. We can borrow more money and we'll leave the bill for the kids. We'll let the grandkids pay for it. We can live large, and the grandchildren and the children, they'll live in poverty. They will be so busy paying taxes, they won't be able to afford a home of their own. They won't be able to afford a family of their own, but screw them. It's all about us. We got to live large, and it's wrong. It's wrong. You got to pay your way. You and I are not entitled to a nickel we haven't earned. And all of this taxing deductions and I don't know. You know, the Bible was 10%.
The people got one lousy deduction, a mortgage. Zero in on the corporations and I don't want to sound like, but the wealthy. There's so many loopholes and so forth. And when Warren Buffett comes out and say he pays less a percentage in taxes than his secretary, that's wrong.
I agree.
That's wrong.
I agree.
So what do we do? Hey, where can we get some money so we can give more money to the multinational corporations and so forth? Oh, here's one. it just makes you want to scream. Leave me alone.
Congress and the White House were also eyeing your 401k, taking away the tax deduction for making payroll contributions to retirement account had been discussed. The tax deduction for 401k contributors will total roughly $583 billion through 2020, while the White House, once the retirement account rate discussion surfaced, quickly poo-pooed such a move. Consumer groups are afraid it's still going to take place.
They want to take away state and local tax deductions. I could never really understand that. Okay, I have to pay tax to the state and local, but I get to deduct it off of my federal. It's like, stop.
Well, I'll tell you another thing that doesn't make sense to me. You have to pay income tax on the money you make.
Stupid.
All right? You have to pay income tax. And then you have to pay sales tax on the money you spend. And there's probably going to be a tax on the money you save before it's all over. And the point is, the government comes up with these goofy ideas. Why should I have to pay money not only on how much I make, but later on how much is left? First, I pay income tax, and whatever's left, whatever I spend, I have to pay sales tax on that. How about you just pay it one time instead of every time you turn around? They go on, they say Social Security is already a complete disaster and will run out of money in about 15 years. I'll bet it runs out a lot sooner than 15 years. Americans need some savings to pay for their golden years, and incentivizing them through tax deductions is the least Uncle Sam can do. No, if they need some money, they need to get a job. They don't need wealth.
No, if they need some money, we need money, that we need a strong money policy so it's not eaten away by inflation, so it doesn't cost $3-$5 to buy a quart of milk. I mean, that's the whole problem.
It's part of the problem, and it goes back to the idea whether we have gold or silver to back our dollars, or we're going to let the government. I mean, most of the inflation we see and the price instability we see goes right back to government because they don't want to pay off on the national debt. They want inflation. They want it. They need it. It repudiates part of the national debt. We can point fingers 100 different directions, but with the problem we have with our financial system goes back to Washington, D.C., and all the brilliant plans that our congressmen, senators, and presidents have to give you a free lunch if you will just vote for them. Somebody's got to pay for that free lunch. There is no free lunch. And if you're eating lunch, you should pay for your lunch. Here's the last part. This whole article impresses me as being stupid. But here's where it really gets to me. They sum up their stupidity in the last paragraph or so. So here is the task for Congress and the White House. Find a way to lower the tax burden on all Americans and all U.S. companies without touching mortgages or retirement accounts. Americans will be justifiably outraged should Washington do otherwise? How are you going to lower taxes on the people and also on the companies and without going after the mortgages and the retirement accounts? How can you lower taxes on everyone without also cutting government spending, cutting government borrowing? And it says Americans will be justifiably outraged should Washington do anything other than lower the tax burden on the people and the corporations. We're going to be justifiably outraged if government continues to operate on the basis it can be the great white father and hand out money to all of us little pickaninnies. They can give us all free lunches. They can't.
Well,
we have to go to a system where we become responsible for our own retirement, where we are responsible for our own bills, we are responsible for paying our own homes, living in a home we can afford, not in a home that can be subsidized by our children and grandchildren.
Well, I just wanted to bring this up. We'll talk a little bit more about it tomorrow, but everybody thought Bitcoin, you'd be able to avoid the IRS. Well, not true, folks. If you thought that Bitcoin was anonymous and no one would know who you are, well, there's now reports coming out, which I've said for a very long time. They know everything that you do online. I don't care if it was blockchain or anything else. Well, the dark web maybe, but even then. So we'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow, Al.
All right. Where are we, Melody? We're down to our last 10 or 15 mm-hmm. seconds. We are. All right. I want to thank you all for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. We hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye, ladies and gentlemen.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.